Hi, this is Dr. Laura Torgerson, and with Everyday Wellness. And Genesis did some work for her way back when she was having a little bump in the road with the partnership. And she just wanted to, I've asked her to share just a little bit about how that was helpful during that period of time.
Yeah, thank you, Randy. It was a really great experience. You interviewed both my partner and myself and our staff and really tried to help us come to a way of working together, and it really helped us get through that bump, as you call it. It was good because you asked something of each of us and didn't point fingers, didn't make anybody feel like they were the sole cause. So it was made for a good working relationship afterward.
Thanks, Laura. Yeah. And oftentimes in situations like the one I dealt with Laura and her partner, it's, you don't necessarily make everything better. I don't have any pixie dust or anything, but they were able to function together for some time afterwards. And I think that was helpful. You know, absolutely. I think we got through that and able to get through so you could function as a professional team for some years ahead until you've decided to go some different directions. But anyway, that's her experience is pretty normative with a lot of our clients. So we help smooth out the bump and usually help going forward. And there's no guarantees in what we do, but we do enjoy working with professionals and helping them move forward and get unstuck, so to speak. So
yeah, I think the clarity you brought was very beneficial to all of us.
Thanks, Dora. Hi, it's Dr. Peace, and I got Dr. Laura Torgerson today. She's a naturopathic physician, and I personally really appreciate the work of naturopaths as opposed to Western docs. There's a place for all docs in this world. But when it comes to COVID-19, and that's something that's not gone away easily, and it may not go away easily for some time, I think we're learning to, this could be normative until we figure out a vaccine and we figure out how to go forward with this coronavirus. So in the meantime, there's still a lot of anxiety out there. I think certain states are spiking. So I've asked Dr. Laura to come on the mic today and to help us understand, like, what's in our control. We can't control what's going on in our states. We can't control what is happening around us, who may be getting infected, but we can think about our own health, right? And so I've asked Dr. Laura today to help us understand what are some things in our control that we can do that will give us the best fighting chance against this coronavirus. So Dr. Torgerson, give us some ideas of what can be really helpful to combat this, the coronavirus.
Yeah, well, of course, the number one thing in my book is wearing those masks and taking it seriously and having the courtesy for others. A lot of people are fairly cavalier. Mm-hmm. Hand washing is critical, and typically I just use soap. When I have to, I'll use the hand sanitizer. And every time I will soap up, and then I'll say a two-syllable word 20 times. And then I know I've got enough soap to break that phospholipid layer on the virus, and then I'm good to go. And then I just always lotion up because I'm constantly washing. Yeah. If I'm in a high contact area, I will wear gloves. Mm-hmm. And I have become very brave and I would recommend everyone else does too, and just saying, hey, I would feel more comfortable if we stayed further apart. And it's very mm-hmm. uncomfortable at times to tell somebody you're too close or please put a mask on.
Right.
I will carry extra masks and I will give other people masks. A nurse friend of mine, she'll stand up for people. Now it's a little bit more required, but before she'd say, hey, that person can't leave this job. They need to stay here. So you need to be respectful and wear a mask. And I thought that was really awesome. So I think speaking up for ourselves is critical. And then of course, just your basic underlying health, getting really good sleep, trying to keep stress down. I have to regularly walk away from the news. Mm-hmm. I have some habits. I lift weights, and I know from listening to other physicians whom I respect, the idea that a muscle that's being built is a happy muscle and sends happy messages, and a muscle that's atrophying is literally sending an I'm dying message. Mm-hmm. So we need as many positive messages running around in our body as possible.
So let's break that down, those two things a little bit, Dr. Laura. So let's talk about sleep, because sleep is something that's an issue for a lot of Americans. The average American does not get enough sleep. So do you have any tips around? Sometimes people can't get asleep very well. Maybe they're waking up in the middle of the night. Give us just a couple tips on how to get a good night's sleep.
And it is tough, and I myself suffer sometimes. One of the things I do is I have a Kindle, and I keep it on really low light and big font. And if I wake up because I'm stressed out about something, I'll read maybe a paragraph, and I'll fall right back to sleep. Not watching TV right before bed, putting away phones, writing down any concerns so that it's like, okay, I'll deal with it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. A big fan of melatonin. Mm. And some people suffer from that grogginess in the morning, and I tell them to just go look at the sun for a few minutes as soon as you wake up, and that tends to clear that grogginess because you're dealing with melatonin and then serotonin, right? And they convert back and forth. Mm-hmm. Some people wake up because they have suddenly low blood sugar, and eating a little something that's kind of a mixture of fat, fiber, and protein before bed can be helpful. Mm-hmm. Sadly, decreasing alcohol. A lot of us are reaching for wine, and and I'm not one of the purest naturopaths out there. I like my wine, but I do notice if I drink even that second glass, boy, I don't sleep as well. Exercise during the daytime is also a huge thing. And then we have this just kind of a whole thing I'll go through. We can do tryptophan and all kinds of different things. Serifos to help kind of calm down the adrenal glands. So when I'm working with somebody, it's kind of like, well, if that didn't work, let's try this. We try to never give up. Right. The sleep is so critical.
Yeah, so sleep is critical in so many ways. Brain health for sure is what they're finding is very critical. But I find personally that having rhythms is really helpful, making sure I go to bed about the same time every night. Just kind of have a bedtime routine, right? And like turn off the TV, get away from the computer, no blue light after a certain time, do old fashioned reading a book kind of thing. And then I actually find it really helpful. I meditate as I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I find that especially just centering down and doing, relaxing your body and kind of clearing your mind. And one of the things I do before I go to bed always is plan my next day. So I know exactly what I need to do when I wake up. So there's nothing on my brain, right? That's keeping, my brain's not telling me to stay awake because I haven't done something, in other words. And every now and then when I do wake up, sometimes I'll wake up fairly early, sometimes 3, sometimes 4. I usually wake up around 4:30 or 5 anyway, because I go to bed early. That's when I do my writing. So, but if I wake up earlier than that, like around 3, what I do is I know I can't go back to sleep. Once my brain turns on, it's all over. So I just get up and do some work for a couple hours, and then I have the luxury, I don't have to go punch a clock at 8 o'clock. So I have the luxury of having my schedule my own time. So then I usually go back to bed and I'll sleep for a couple hours. And then get up. And some of my most productive time actually is at 3 a.m. So it's, I think if people can just learn how, again, that rhythm, I find that rhythm of making sure I get to bed at a certain time. Because when I don't get to bed at the time I need to, I still wake up at the time I'm used to.
Right. Yeah. Right. You're absolutely right. The patterns, your adrenal glands just love a schedule.
Right.
And, so bed at the same time, waking up at the same time. I love not ever setting an alarm. So I pretty much will snap to at 7 a.m. regardless. And it doesn't mean I haven't woken up a time or two at night. But I don't stress about it anymore. And that right there, not stressing about not sleeping is a big step.
Right. So stress is something a lot of people are experiencing right now, from financial stress to stress of homeschooling kids to there's a ton of stress going on for a lot of people. Alcohol sales are not lacking right now in our culture. So that extra glass of wine is definitely happening for a lot of folks. But I think dealing with stress, because stress, maybe just take a moment, Dr. Laura, and talk about how stress affects the body and can affect our immune system, and then that can lead to easier receptivity to the virus.
Exactly. I mean, they're talking about like interleukin 6 going up with stress, and that making you more susceptible to the virus. I think it also ties in with diet and the stress that we put on our body with our diet, and too much sugar is tremendously stressful. And I'm not sure why I didn't learn it earlier, but the molecule of sugar, of glucose, and the molecule of vitamin C are almost identical. And I just think this is fascinating that animals have an enzyme and they can take a molecule of glucose, turn it into vitamin C. And we lost that ability or never had it. I don't know where along the evolutionary chain. So we have to get ours from our diet. And stress is a basically an oxidative condition where you're literally rusting from the inside. And vitamin C's job is to donate an electron and keep the cell walls intact. And interestingly, the white blood cells require 50 times as much vitamin C inside of them to combat oxidative stress. So versus the plasma around them, the white blood cells that fight infection, they need 50 times as much vitamin C. And then somewhere along the road, I read also that the adrenal glands, the center medulla, has the highest concentration of vitamin C in the body. So your adrenal glands like vitamin C, our immune system likes it for fighting. Mm-hmm. It's something that nature does extremely well. It's, in fruits and vegetables. My favorite thing when I am stressed is if I have anything in my garden that I can go harvest. Mm-hmm. Love to do that. Then an interesting study I read recently was because they use glucose and vitamin C use the same pathways, the same receptor sites. So they compete with each other. And if you have a type 1 or type 2 diabetic, primarily type 2, if they would take 500 milligrams of vitamin C after every meal, they have an easier time of controlling their blood sugar. And having uncontrolled blood sugar is that oxidative state that makes you more receptive to viruses of any kind and health problems.
Yeah.
So to me,
it's really helpful information. I know I'm type 2 diabetic, and I know there's probably tons of people out there just like me. I mean, diabetes is continuing to be a difficult problem within our culture. And thanks for that tip. Let's talk about just some other pieces that we can do for our own health to combat. So we know that the coronavirus causes inflammation in the body. So maybe speak to inflammation for a second, Dr. Laura, about how we can help combat inflammation in our bodies as well.
Yeah, and that goes exactly back to that oxidative stress, right? So the lower sugar, the better sleep. Staying away from trans fats. Mm-hmm. Trans fats are the kind of fats that, rather than having the hydrogen on the same side of the double bond between carbons, and I don't want to get too technical, but I think it's fascinating, right? Yeah. You move that hydrogen to the other side of the double bond, and then you make this really brittle fat. Whereas if you have your good supple fats, mm-hmm. that aren't trans, and they're not the fast food, fried, deep fried kinds of things, then you've got these wonderful oils in the cell lining, and so the cells communicate better with each other and they stack up more neatly. And so, fat is inflammatory.
Yeah.
Right?
So give us a quick a comparison. So what would be a good fat compared to a bad fat?
Okay, nuts and seeds and avocado and a little bit of animal fat. A lot of people, some people are, against eating, any meat. I used to be a vegetarian. I'm an omnivore at this point. Mm-hmm. If it were left up to me to do all the cooking, I would probably go back to being vegetarian.
Yeah.
I guess for stress and all of that, flexibility is huge, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So nuts, seeds, avocado, fish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I eat a lot of fish. I'm lucky my brother's a salmon fisherman up in Alaska. Oh,
that helps, doesn't it?
over my fair share.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I'm not afraid of fat. Fat's not what makes you fat.
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked about sleep. We talked about, how to helping to manage stress. We've talked about inflammation. Any other pointers, Dr. Laura, about how we can be in the best possible health?
Yeah. So I don't know how much we talked about exercise, but getting exercise daily, right? Mm-hmm. And then a recent, OHSU has been doing an awesome job of CME opportunities, continuing medical education, you know, via Zoom. And somebody recently was talking, I should attribute, I can't remember her name right now, about how socialization is huge. It's as important as exercise, and that if you get good exercise and you have some social interaction, it makes that exercise way more valuable. It's as important. And she says social, you know, distancing doesn't mean social isolation.
Right.
We need to socialize. We need our friends. And so really kind of upping that, whether it's through Zoom meetings or telephone or socially distanced, mm-hmm. we need that.
Yeah. People are getting very creative in how they're doing that. I know my oldest daughter is definitely an extrovert. She loves being around people. So she's been incredibly creative about having social distance picnics and get togethers with her friends and meeting at a park. And, you know, and so she's really maintained quite a bit of her social life. She's just had to adjust and, you know, face masks and distancing and all, but she's figuring it out, you know? Yeah. And so she hasn't really changed a lot of her lifestyle really. But she's just had to adapt, right? And which is true for many of us, is learning how to adapt to this thing. And I think if you adapt, then that lowers your stress as well, right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the kind of interesting things I've found is a lot of my patients, they're doing great. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. They're not stressed. They're not racing off to work. These are the people fortunate enough, like myself, to be able to do much of their work via, you know, remote,
right.
and telecommuting and all of that. They don't have to deal with traffic. So right. a lot of their issues of chronic, you know, lifestyle problems have resolved.
Right.
So yeah. I hope that going forward, we can take forward the things that have worked for us during this time.
It's going to be interesting, isn't it? As we, like, what will the new normal really look like? I think some people are going to telecommute more.
Yep.
I think that's definitely going to happen. I think we are going to realize what we need to do in person as well, though. I think there's some things that really hard to do off of a platform like this, as yep. opposed to face to face. I know that's true in my particular practice in mediation. It's really helpful to see people, pick up body language, and so that's really optimal. But I've done an awful lot of work by Zoom during this time, and I'm sure continue to do so. One of the things for just my wife and I, we've been taking walks together almost every day, and that really didn't happen much before. I'd exercise alone and she'd exercise alone. We had kind of different schedules. Well, now it's a little more relaxed, and we figure out when in the day we're going to take our walk. And of course it's nice outside right now. It's not, you know, rainy and cool. So that's been really, really kind of a fun thing for us to do, is to be able to take walks together.
And yeah, I agree. I've had the opportunity with my, I have twin boys, they're 17 now, of getting them jobs in the neighborhood, and then also going with them and making sure they learn how to do all of those, you know, yard work things, mm-hmm. trimming plant trees, right. which ones are desirable plants, which ones aren't.
Yeah.
And I had a chance to kind of do it over again. And that's been really fun, because I yeah. guess as a parent, sometimes you can be too demanding and it's not perfect or whatever. Yeah. But so yeah. having that chance to do something over again, I think has been really nice. I've been yeah. appreciated that.
Yeah. Well, I think overall, we just need to understand there are things that are in our control, and the things that are in our control, like what we eat, how we sleep, you know, if we exercise, if we spend time with other people, everything we've talked about today are things that are in our own control. And, right. And to me, I find that's really helpful when it comes to anxiety and stress, is to, I can't control anything out there. Like he says, I have to walk away from the news often, like the news just drives me nuts,
yep.
You know, and to just understand, you know, what's happening around me, what I can control. The people I want to be listening to, the people I want to interact with, how I want to treat my own body. Those are all things in my control. And when I'm doing those things well, then it does, to me, give me more peace. And I think that's what it helps people do. It helps them find more peace in the midst of this storm that surrounds us.
Exactly. And I think the more we can reach out to others and figure out what do they need, what's lacking. I have a lot of elderly neighbors in my neighborhood, and know, so far they're doing okay and they're figuring it out, but they also know if they need something that I'm there, my kids are there.
Yeah.
It's kind of created a nice community in that respect.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been kind of cool to see some of those kinds of things happening. We hear too much on the news about what's not right. It's kind of fun to hear some good news about neighbors taking care of neighbors and people reaching out and kind of going the extra mile. And there is a lot of that happening, actually. It's just not, we don't get to hear it too often is the problem.
Yeah. And I have a treehouse on my property. And so the neighbor kids love to come over. It's
A
joy to hear these little kids again in the yard.
I bet, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Dr. Laura. And what would be one takeaway? If there's one thing the audience could take away and say, you know, what can I do? The one thing I can do that I can, it's in my control to go forward and deal with this COVID-19 issue. What would be the one thing you'd really want people to take away?
So it's a little bit new information just now that I remembered, but it is all about food. It's about what we're putting in our bodies, doing with our bodies. There's preliminary research coming out of Eastern Europe that people who are eating fermented foods and lots of fiber, who are having a really healthy gut, are surviving COVID easier. Mm. Again, I'm going to say it's preliminary, but it completely makes sense with what I believe. And one of my top food recommendations for years has been eat sauerkraut.
Right.
Sauerkraut has glutamine in it. It has probiotics. It's got the fiber. It's what keeps your gut healthy. And if your gut's not healthy, I don't know how the rest of you can be healthy.
Right.
Yeah. So I would keep coming back to what am I eating? And that doesn't mean you can never have the chocolate or the coffee or the alcohol, but it means that the majority of what you put in your mouth,
right,
good, healthy, whole food. And if you can see it and recognize it, that's better than something that's coming in a package.
Correct. Yeah.
And so reading labels. And and if you're going to take some vitamin C, and if it's a chewable kind, make sure that it's not got equal amount of sugar in it.
Right.
It will mollify your vitamin C.
Right.
Yeah. So, I think just being as flexible and graceful during this time and understanding of others is probably would be my takeaway. And to try to support local businesses and you know, figure out, I'm delighted that my friend, if I can throw a pitch in here, the Daily Feast is a restaurant near my clinic. And I'm so happy that my friend's going to actually open up a second space in her restaurant.
That's great. Yeah. We try to do takeout when we can. I think our restaurants are the ones that are really getting hit hard. Yeah. Many of them I don't think are going to survive. And it's been brutal for them.
Yeah.
And certain parts of the economy have definitely been hit harder than other parts, especially like events, people who do events kinds of things.
Yeah.
So there's certain things that are going to be, and they're going to be brutal for a while yet. They're not going to come back easily.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
You had an offer for our audience today. You
want to
talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, because I'm such a fan of, I forgot to mention vitamin D, but we want good, healthy levels of vitamin D.
Yes.
And I'm not afraid of the sun. I do, if I'm going to be out in it for a long time, I'll wear a hat. But in general, I'm okay with the sun. But anybody who wants to call the clinic, we do curbside service, and we would give 15% off of what we have in stock of any of the, vitamin C, vitamin D, something like that. And I can also see new patients via telemedicine, which we could never do before. And that is kind of nice.
Yeah. So tell us your website and how we can get in touch with you.
www.bewelleveryday.com. And the phone number is 503-222-1315.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. And thanks for the generous offer, and hope some people will take you up on that.
I appreciate that. You take care and keep wearing your mask.
I will. Okay.
All right.
Bye now.